Please turn in the Word of God to 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Today we're going to look at faith failure. Failure in faith. Would you stand with me as we look into the Word of God? And as you look, will you prayerfully pray that we hear from God? Verse 1 says, "Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone." And we know this is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Thessalonica. "And we sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this. For in fact, we told you before when we were with you that we would suffer tribulations, just as it happened. And you know, for this reason, when I could no longer endure it, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we praise you because you are God. We bow before you to present ourselves, Lord, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. And now, Lord, I pray that your presence would saturate us today. That, Lord, you would convict of sin. That you'd comfort those who are hurting. That you would encourage those who are downtrodden. That, Lord, you and your wisdom would move freely among us, answering every spiritual need that is present today. Lord, we love you. And we thank you for Jesus, the sacrifice for our sin. Our Messiah, our coming King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen." Do you really know what faith is? I mean, really. I mean, it's one of those religious words you hear a lot. The faith. But do you really know? See, faith is belief, but it's more than that. It's trust. It's when you can put your confidence somewhere and know that that confidence is well placed. So a faith failure is when you say, "I can no longer trust somebody." For example, a friend. If you had a friend that betrayed you or disappointed you, and you know, you might say that I don't trust my friend anymore. I don't have faith in him or her anymore. And it's one thing when it's a friend. But you see, there's a trend today in the world that Christians are coming to that point where they say, "God, I can no longer trust you." It's a very sad point. As a matter of fact, it's a crisis in evangelical Christians today where folks just seem to be falling by the wayside. Paul had that in mind when he wrote the third chapter of 1 Thessalonians here. And he writes, he says, to check on. Not to check on how you doing or is there persecution, but to check on their faith. You see, he knew they were being pressured and he knew they were being abused. And there was a very real danger that the saints at Thessalonica would fall by the wayside and just give up altogether. Coming to that point where they'd say, "It's not worth it." So it was continually on his mind because he had literally invested himself into that church and building that church at Thessalonica. And so when he could no longer stand it, praying every day, worrying every day about the saints in Thessalonica, it says he sent Timothy. And the reason he sent Timothy was to check how was their faith. How was your faith? As a matter of fact, that question, as I look among you today, That question jumps out at me. I have no question that there are people in this congregation today who are hurting. There are people in this congregation today who are going through difficult times. Maybe family, maybe financial, maybe work, whatever the crisis. But there are people here today that are going through crisis. And I don't want to ask, how's it going? I want to ask, how's your faith? Where are you in your walk with Jesus Christ? And the reason I ask that is because there is a crisis, as I mentioned before. Did you know that 70% of all children who grow up in church will check out of the faith between the age of 17 and 19? Do you know that? Isn't that scary? Now, many of them come back, and when I say check out, I mean they leave. They leave church. They leave the faith. Did you know that it's estimated, and the statistics are different, but somewhere between 1,700 and 300 pastors quit the ministry every month? Did you know 8,000 to 10,000 churches a year close their doors? What's going on? Faith failure. You see, as I look and through counsel today and dealing with people today, I discover that everybody has a crisis. As a matter of fact, if we were to raise our hands today and say, how many has a crisis? More of us would raise our hands with a crisis than those that would not. And I see these people going through crisis. And that crisis, instead of bringing them closer to Jesus, seems to push them away. I see people in financial crisis who, you know, maybe they declare bankruptcy or they're just barely able to pay their bills and they're squeaking by and they leave the faith because they're embarrassed. I want to tell you, if you're in financial crisis today, don't be embarrassed. We've all been there and done that. Amen. But I do remind you that the God that you believe in and the God that you serve is still the God of your crisis. If you're going through marriage difficulty, maybe, you know, your wife or your husband or whoever is weak. No, it's always the husband's fault, right? So just never mind the wife or Mark. I see so many people go through marriage crisis and they get out of church and dismiss themselves from God. And the question, when I ask them why, they say, well, Brother Doug, I'm just too embarrassed to come back to church. Don't be embarrassed. You see, everybody puts on this big act and we want people to think that our marriage is perfect. I'm going to give you insight. Beth's marriage is not perfect. Because she is married to the preacher. And he's a far cry from it. See, we're not all. What we appear to be. I see people who get in a disagreement in church with people and they just leave. And I'm talking about leaving the faith. I'm talking about they get to that point where they say, well, if that's what church is, I don't want any part of it. And they're just a bunch of hypocrites in that church anyway. Well, if that's your attitude, I want you to know that that's nothing new. There's been hypocrites in the church since Jesus walked upon this earth. There was old Judas who betrayed Jesus, and I mean, he was a big hypocrite. What I'm trying to alert you to is a danger. Because as I look out among this congregation today, I see people very, very young, and I see people who are pretty old. And the question comes to my mind, where will you be a year from now? Where will you be a year from now? Having gone through the challenges of faith, and something's going to challenge your faith this year, because it is certain you're going to have tribulation. As a matter of fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, Paul told his son in the faith, Timothy, he said, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. He didn't say preachers will suffer persecution. He didn't say Sunday school teachers. He said all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It is not easy being a child of God as you walk upon this earth. Oh, there's going to be challenges. There will be friends who look down upon you and you say, you're one of those Bible thumpers. How you feel about this big as people point and make fun of you? But you've got to ask yourself the question, can I trust my God in this crisis? As people are pointing and looking down and belittling me. You see, I want you to understand today that just because you're a Christian does not give you a free pass through this world. All right? Most people have the idea, well, I'm a Christian, bad things are not supposed to happen to me. No! Understand from the beginning of time when Adam and Eve was in the garden, when it was just Adam and Eve and God, everything was wonderful. And then old Satan came on the scene. And he's been messing things up ever since. Listen, friends, there will be challenges to your faith. College students, your faith will be challenged. And you've got to make up your mind before you get in that challenge how you're going to handle it. Because there will be times when you're going through the pressure of the battle, the heat of the challenge, the heart of the tribulation. There will be those times when you don't understand why this is happening. You don't understand even what you're going through. And if you haven't made up your mind, my God is trustworthy, you'll give Him up in that crisis environment. Well, you say, Brother Doug, but isn't God always supposed to take care of it? Yeah, yes, and He does take care of us. But understand, we will all have tribulation. And tribulation is actually good. How many of you love tribulation? Say amen. Not quite, right? Why does God give us tribulation? Well, you go to the Word of God in Romans chapter 5, verse 3, we're told. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. Do you realize as you go through a crisis, whether it be financial, whether it be marriage, whether it be friend, whether it be social, whatever the crisis, do you realize that that crisis can make you better? I have learned a lot. As a matter of fact, the greatest education that I've had has been in the school of hard knocks. When my faith was being challenged. And you know what I learned during that time? That Satan can take a lot of things away from me. He may take my money. He may can take even my health if God gives him that opportunity, as He did with Job. He may create crisis all around me. But I want to tell you something. What Satan cannot take, he cannot take my personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And no matter how the storm is raging, no matter what the crisis is, I can still open the doors of heaven in prayer and my God will hear me. You see, Paul said in Romans, tribulation worketh perseverance. Tribulation will help me to hang around, you know? See, today, in our society, it's all about convenience. We drive through McDonald's or whatever, Burger King, and because we want it here and we want it now. I want to tell you what, growing faith doesn't work that way. Growing faith does not work until it's challenged. So I want you to understand, when you back up, you may say, God, I don't understand. Why am I going through this? You have the knowledge that God has a plan. And as your God, He's working all things together for your good. Don't fall by the wayside. Not only does tribulation produce endurance, tribulation opens ministry opportunities. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. And get to, here's the part I want you to get. Who comforts us with all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. That's hard to read. But what it's saying is, as you go through tribulation, what you're going to discover is you're going to learn and grow in faith in that process. And then, after you come out the other side, you can minister to those who are going through those tribulations that you've been through. Does that make sense? You know, I can't talk to someone about marriage problems if I've never been married. And if you've ever been married, you're going to have marriage problems, right? That's just part of it. But I can't give marriage advice if I've never been married. I can't give advice to people who have lost loved ones until I've walked through the valley of the shadow of death myself. You see, you've got to understand that crises aren't just crises for the sake of abusing you. These crises that we face make us more usable in the work of the Lord. So never back up and say, God, I just quit. It's not worth it. God is working. God is working in you and through you. And besides that, tribulation removes the impurities. Have you ever noticed when the pressure is on, that's when your heart is revealed? Proverbs chapter 25, verse 4. Take away the dross from the silver, and it will go to the silversmith for jewelry. And what I've discovered is, if I've got an anger problem, I seem to have a lot of opportunity to be angry. You get that? I've heard people say, well, I have a temper problem. That's just the way I am. See, God's not satisfied to leave you just the way you are. He wants to grow your faith. And so as you face these crises of temper, see, God expects, as you see these things that comes out of your heart in that crisis, He expects those things to be removed. You know, Jesus said, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Have you got a filthy mouth? You know why you've got a filthy mouth? Because you've got a filthy heart. Brother Doug, I can't control my language. Yes, you can. Fix the heart. Fix the heart. I want you to understand today that God has not just left you hanging out to dry. God has a plan for your life. And that's the good news. Praise God. I'm not what I'm going to be, but praise God, I'm not what I was 20 years ago. I promise you. Y'all wouldn't have liked me 30 years ago. Here's the catastrophe. Paul said in verse 5, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter had tempted you and our labor might be in vain. You see, Paul had invested a great deal into the church at Thessalonica. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us. Paul literally invested himself into those people. Now, I want you to stop just a moment. And you, I know many of you may look at me and you think, oh yeah, preacher, yeah, yeah, I know, we're going to face tribulation, and yeah, I'll fall. No, listen. Listen how important it is, your faithfulness to God. There have been people who have invested a lot in you. Just like the Apostle Paul invested himself into those saints. Jesus had invested into those saints at Thessalonica. And as I look at you today, you are here because somebody took an interest in you. You know? Because some preacher somewhere told you about Jesus Christ. Because some Sunday school teacher somewhere took her time when you were just a kid to tell you about Jesus. Your mom and dad, as you were growing up, and they took you to church. Even when you didn't want to go. How many of you were ever dragged to church when you didn't want to go? I was. But you know, I've come to realize they did it for my good. And I praise God they drug me to church, because today, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But I want you to stop and realize, teenager, before you abandon the faith and say, I don't need that religious stuff, I want you to stop and take a look at what your mom and dad has put in you, invested into you. Young adults, as you raise your children, you think, I want to give my children the chance to make their own decisions. I'll not interfere with their decisions. Listen, you better interfere. You better invest in that child. Else, they'll grow up like the society that we live in today that knows no God. You see, I look around today and I see people who just, it seems like they don't care. It's a me society. It's a what's in it for me society. It is a selfish society of selfishness. And do you want to know why? It's because we've turned our back upon God. It's because we can no longer be called a nation that's under God. And it's so sad to see where we've come, because people don't know how to love anymore. You know? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you know what kind of love that is? That is an agape love. That means unconditional. That means God gave His all so that you can have eternal life. Our society, our culture doesn't get that anymore. Because of faith failure. What's the cure? Well, it starts out, Paul said, I sent Timothy to establish and to encourage that no one be shaken. No one be shaken. No one be overwhelmed. And Paul sent young Timothy to put his arm around them and say, listen guys, we're here for you. Here's what you need to know about church. We need one another. We need the encouragement of one another. You do not understand what a church family means until you go through crisis. And that church comes alongside you and says, look, hang in there. We love you. We're praying for you. And if there's anything you need, you let us know. You hang in there. You know you're not going through this alone. We're going to walk through this with you. And that's what Paul sent Timothy for. to establish them, strengthen them, and let them know, yes, you're in crisis. Yes, your faith is being challenged, but you hang in there. You're not the only one going through this. We as a church have got to remember to be that strengthening and encouragement to one another. Take the time to love, all right? Because that matters. But the bottom line is, it's up to those who have fallen by the wayside. Listen, I can tell you I love you all I want to. But until you decide this life that I'm living, apart from God, is not life. Until you decide to turn around, things won't change. You see, I go back and I think about the story of the prodigal son. How he went to his father and he demanded his inheritance. He said, "Dad, I want my inheritance. I want it now." And that's like telling your dad that you're dead to me. Give me my inheritance and then just leave me alone. So his dad gave him his inheritance. And he left. And the Bible says he blew it on sinful living. I mean, he went out and he partied until the money ran out. And then he decided, oh, I've got to get a job. So he gets a job and that job is, of course, feeding pigs. And he goes out to the pigs and it says he was hungry. And he realized he was looking at what the pigs were eating. And he said, I would have eaten that myself. And then I came to my senses and I remembered my father's house. How even the hired servants live better than that. He came to that point where he said, I would have eaten with the pigs. And he realized, I don't have to live this way. You know what he did? He went back to his father. And you know what the father did? Father saw him coming afar off and he sent his servants and said, tell that boy, you're not welcome in my house. No, he didn't. He did not. The Bible says the father saw his prodigal son coming and he ran out to meet him. And he put his arms around him and he kissed him and he loved him. And he brought him back into his house and said, kill the fatted calf. My son that was lost is found. We're going to have a celebration. You see, that's our Father. Not only is He good to us when we're faithful, but when we've turned our backs on Him, said, Father, I'm going to go my own way. This faith thing has not worked out. I'm going to do my own thing. And God, here I go. We spend time and years apart from God. Our Heavenly Father still looking. Still hoping that one day that prodigal son and that prodigal daughter will return. Beloved, today's the day. There are people who have fallen by the wayside. And listen, I'm not casting stones because most of us have been there and done that. Somewhere along the way, we've decided, well, this is just too difficult for me. Yeah, it's not worth it. I'm going to do my own thing. The good news is, God says, come back. Come back. Oh, but Brother Doug, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You know what I've discovered about being a parent? I have discovered that I love my kids. And I can't get over that. I can't. Sometimes my kids disappoint me. Sometimes I get angry at my kids. Sometimes I could shake them. But I can't not love them. That's how God feels about you. You may have said, God, I'm going to go my own way and do my own thing. Your faith may have failed because of peer pressure, because of circumstances of life, and you've just gone your way. And I want you to know that God still today says, come unto me. Come back. You who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Because let's face it, all right, are you with me? Let's face it, life without God does not work. Now, just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're going to have no trouble. No. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather face the trouble with God than without Him. Number one, how's your faith? That's my question. Does it exist? Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus? If not, He's calling to you today. He gave His all so that you could have eternal life. Come unto me. Has your faith? Yes, I trusted Christ when I was 12 years old. I kind of fell away when I was 16, 17. And it's been a long, hard journey. But I've been distant with God for years. Come unto me. How's your faith? Maybe you're in the crisis. Oh, you're getting hammered on every side, and it doesn't matter what you do. The hammering just keeps coming, and it keeps coming, and you're thinking, God, I don't know how much more of this I can take. Be encouraged. You're not alone. God is still God, and He still loves you. I'm reminded of Jesus talking to Peter. Jesus said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. That's my prayer for you today. If you're going through the crisis, my prayer is that your faith fails not. This altar will be open for you if you need to cast your cares at the altar before the Lord. This invitation is for you if you need to join this church, if you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism, if you need to be saved. Whatever the need is, answer the question, how's your faith? And whatever's lacking, you take care of it in the presence of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your mercy and grace, and that no matter how far we have drifted from you, that, Lord, you still love us. And you still desire our return. Heavenly Father, I pray for those in this congregation today that are facing the crisis. Lord, I pray that their faith fail not, but that the tribulation only serve to make them stronger in you. Lord, I pray for those who are lost, who do not know you as their personal Savior. I pray that today's the day. Lord, I convict them of sin. Beg you, touch their heart even now so that they may turn to you. Lord, move freely among us. Thy will be done in Jesus' name.